Hello, bright but very sensitive podcast listeners. How are you today? I am feeling very, very sensitive, so that's why I'm here. I just wanted to take a minute today to talk a little bit about our cores, right? And like the core of who we are and what we think about ourselves, our fundamental beliefs about who we are and the world around us. And I guess a lot of this is being brought up by, you know, just work I'm doing in therapy and whatnot, but also it's being brought up by my wonderful and amazing life coaching clients who, you know, over the course of the last week or two, I've had several different clients say something to the same effect to me, which is like, I know I struggle, I know I have a hard time, but I also know that at my core, I'm okay. And listening to them say that, I was so proud and so happy for them that they were able to recognize that. Because sometimes when our environment gets us down or when our brain is playing tricks on us, it can be really hard to return to that core sense, that core belief that who we are is okay. And they were able to do that. But I'll be honest, you guys, it also made me a little bit jealous. And I'm working on the idea of jealousy as just being an indicator of something that we want rather than something to be ashamed of. But I definitely felt that tug of like, man, I wish that when I, you know, push came to shove, I really believed that I was okay and like who I was okay. But I don't. And I know I should. I think that's the part that drives me the most crazy. You know, my husband and I were having a discussion last night about the fact that I've been pretty depressed the last like couple of weeks. And I said, but I don't want to be. And he said, great, I don't want you to be either. But that doesn't change reality. We can't just will what we want into being. You know, it sometimes things just are the way they are. And I guess all of this is like a tangled up mess in my brain, but just this idea that at my core, I don't like who I am and I don't think who I am is good enough or good at all. And my depression is like of that, I guess, in some ways. And on top of it all, like, I know a lot about psychology. You know, I minored in psychology in school. It's been my special interest since third grade. I know a lot about how the brain works and how emotions work and all this stuff. And I think the problem is a lot of information out there around emotions and even around depression is very much written from the lens of mental wellness rather than the lens of mental illness. And the difference, like what I mean by that, is that a lot of people are talking about how to be mentally well when you are struggling rather than how to cope with a chronic, persistent mental illness that may or may not ever go away in its entirety. And I'm not saying that like those tips for mental wellness can never help people who are mentally ill, because they can. They have for me in my life, for sure. Like gratitude journaling has been huge for me. I know it sounds super cheesy, but like paying attention to my gratitude has really, really made an impact in my life. So like I know that some of the cheesy mental wellness stuff can help people who are mentally ill. I know that. But at the same time, we also need advice that's specifically for illness, and how to deal with the chronic nature of it and the persistent nature of it. And I especially get frustrated with a lot of pop psychology stuff that says, you know, not everything comes back to like unraveling your childhood or whatever. And it's like, okay, maybe for a lot of people, that's true. But for a lot of other people, it does come back to that, because your understanding of who you are was founded in childhood. And I think this is like the big difference I'm starting to notice in myself versus other mentally ill people I talk to who don't necessarily have developmental trauma from like a very young age. And the difference is that they feel, other people who experience depression, who are autistic, ADHD, they feel that these are like outside forces acting upon them. And to be fair, I did used to feel that way at one point too. But the more I learn about myself and the longer I struggle with these things, I start to feel like I'm rotten at the core. That these are not outside influences, that they are the direct result of my rottenness. That nothing good could ever flower from a rotten root. And they're just the flowers I get, you know, depression and hypersensitivity and anxiety, burnout. Those are my flowers. And rather than, I think, a lot of other mentally ill people tend to view those things as external forces rather than the results of who they are, which is good. I don't want people to think the way I think. I don't like it. And I don't even think it's true a lot of the time. Like intellectually, I know that I am a decent-ish person who, like, doesn't suck entirely. I know that. But if you were to ask my emotions and if you were to ask my core, you know, have you guys seen Inside Out 2? Have we talked about Inside Out 2 on this podcast already? If we haven't, we really should. But in the second Inside Out movie, she has beliefs, like core beliefs that develop a sense of self. And her sense of self is, I am a good person. And that is what your sense of self is supposed to be as a child. It's overly simplistic. It's not going to last forever because you're going to make mistakes and all this stuff. But you're, as a child, you should have the belief that you are good because you're a kid. You are good. But when we watched that movie and that part happened where her little sense of self said, I am a good person, I literally snorted. And my husband was like, what the hell? Like, what are you, that wasn't funny. And I was like, I know it's not funny, but like, it's a little funny in the sense that like, I have literally never had a sense of self that believes that as long as I can possibly remember. And that's just depressing, I guess. I'm sorry. I don't say all this to like, I don't know, be depressing or make you feel sorry for me or something. That's not the idea. What I'm hoping to get out of this is actually hoping to help other people feel seen who have been in this situation of feeling like who they are is inherently wrong and bad and defective and broken and all of these like horribly judgmental, shaming words that have lived in my head for forever. I just hope that, I don't know, if I don't feel seen, despite how much of the psychology world I have absorbed, I really worry for other people who are like me, who are like me in the sense that they do have this sense of self that tells them they're bad and broken. But they maybe aren't like me in that they aren't obsessed with psychology and stuff. So I worry that they're just not seeing themselves and not seeing themselves represented and not finding any answers or solutions or help. And that can lead people down a really hopeless path. And so even though I don't have a lot of like hopeful things to say today necessarily, I hope that it at least helps you feel seen and understood and acknowledged that it's, you're not the only one. You're not crazy, even if you are a little crazy, I guess. Like, that's another big thing I've been coming to terms with, like, total side note, is just acknowledging and accepting how deeply mentally ill I actually am. Like, I think ableism has tried to convince me for a long time that like, oh, I have depression and ADHD and I'm autistic and like, yeah, but like I cope with those things. I can hold down a job. I can raise kids. Like I keep a house. Everything's fine. But man, have I just noticed recently a lot of shit slipping through the cracks, and like really important stuff slipping through the cracks. And it's just made me realize that maybe I'm not doing it all super well. Maybe I'm struggling a lot more than I want to be. You know, like that discussion I had with my husband, I don't want to be depressed. Like, well, great, but you are though. And like, I've been kind of turning a blind eye to some of my struggles in an attempt to make them not exist. You know, like I'm really, and this is the other thing, I'm just going to like keep tossing stuff at you. It's so hard to know when I'm depressed what's true and what's not. Because my brain will tell me with full confidence that something is true when I'm depressed, and I will wholeheartedly believe it, only to then come out of the depression a couple weeks later and realize that that was total shit. It was totally a lie. It was just depression talking. But in the moment, I had no idea. And that is a little crazy making, you know, it, especially as you deal with depression long term. Man, nobody talks about dealing with depression for a long time and how it just makes you feel totally fucking nuts. But because you start to realize all your patterns and all this stuff. So like, I know that my depression lies to me, but that doesn't mean I can tell when it's lying. And that's so frustrating. Like, is this depression, or is this actually an accurate reflection on who I am as a person? And I should probably work on that. Like, a big one my depression tries to tell me all the time when I get depressed is like, you're a horrible mother. Like, never should have had kids. You are the worst. Like, you are doing active harm simply by existing in the vicinity of your children. And yes, usually when it gets that extreme, I can tell that it's a lie. But sometimes if I've been depressed long enough, and if those thoughts have been sneaky enough, they build on each other until that does seem like a logical fucking conclusion. And that sucks. And when I'm not depressed, I know that I struggle as a mom, because I am autistic and I have ADHD and I have depression. And like, I know that there are elements of my mothering that I would love to improve. But I also know that I provide for my children both physically and emotionally, and I play with them and I take care of them as best I can. And I've got my partner to support me in that. And like, usually I can tell, but sometimes I fucking can't. And it's scary and hard to not know if you're doing a good job and not know if you're a decent person. And it's like, you know how rubber has memory? Do you guys know about this? Rubber has memory. That's why when you stretch out a balloon before you blow it up, it's easier to blow up, because the balloon, like, quote unquote, remembers what it's like to be stretched. I feel like a rubber balloon, and I was stretched in a particular way that made me think I am a horrible person. And so that is what I naturally come back to, because that is what I remember. That is the state I remember being in. And so when even the slightest wind goes to knock me over, I fall into that position of self-loathing. And it's so not fun. Like, it's so not fun. Spoken like a true Gemini, like everything should just be fun and it's not. And I don't understand. Like, that's not what I mean. I don't mean that life should just be fun all the time. I just don't know how else to describe this. Like, devastating, debilitating, exhausting. You know, I sang myself a little song. I do this sometimes when I go to pick up the kids or when I'm making dinner or whatever. I'll just like sing to myself. And so I sang this little song to myself. I don't know if I'm going to remember all of it, but it was like, I'm so tired of my brain, tired of the constant refrain that I'm a horrible person, you're a horrible person, and nothing's ever going to change. Like, that's my subconscious, you guys, like, constantly. And I don't really know how to be a person with that. Or at least not how to be the person I want to be. I want to be different, I guess. I just want to be not even happy necessarily, although happy would be great. I want to be solid. I have never felt solid a day in my life. I don't know if it's the Gemini stuff or the trauma stuff or what, but I've never felt solid a day in my life. I've always been, you know, when they teach you to do those meditation exercises and they're like, imagine your thoughts are leaves floating down from a tree, or imagine the thoughts are leaves floating through a river. In those visualizations, if I let myself do them naturally without like intentionally changing them the way I know they're supposed to be, I am the thing that's moving. And my thoughts are the things that are staying still. And like, if that doesn't describe me, I don't know what does, right? It's just, I'm always shifting and changing, and my thoughts are just obsessive and repetitive, never changing. And I don't know. There's probably lots of reasons for this that I don't know that I'm ready to dig into, but it just, I'm sorry to just like dump all this on you guys. Maybe I shouldn't even post this one. I don't know, but I probably will, because why not, I guess. What's the gist of this episode? The gist of this episode is that long-term depression really fucks with you. Like, it really, really fucks with you. And I am disabled. And I understand that I have low support needs. I understand that I have lived alone and I could live alone if I had to. And I acknowledge all of the privilege inherent in that. And at the same time, even low support needs are significantly more support needs than someone with, like, without disabilities. And I just have trouble reckoning with that sometimes, I guess, or sometimes I like to forget or pretend that I'm not disabled. And I know for a long time I couldn't call myself disabled because I was so afraid I would be pushing myself into a community I didn't belong in. But honestly, there's just no better word to describe what it's like to be me, I think. There are a lot of things I'm unable to do, or unable to do the way that I'm expected to do them. And I don't know. I don't know what the gist of this episode is. I'm not sure how to end it except to say that I hope that this made you feel seen. And I hope that it helped in some way to know that you're not the only person who doesn't feel solid in themselves, and that maybe we will find an anchor point someday, and maybe we won't. Maybe we'll make a home as leaves on the wind.